Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, so that we can grow in knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it. And Father, may He do the speaking through me this morning, so that the words are not mine, but they are yours. Because, Father, we're standing in a day and time where we need your word greatly in our lives and in our land. Our Father, be with us throughout this study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. We're going through 1 Timothy. We was in the third chapter yesterday when things got cut off on us. It happened once before. And actually, to the website, they was the one that had cut it. They sent me a message apologizing for interrupting and cutting the message out. Don't know why they did it. They didn't give any explanation for any reason other than it just happened. Well, it happened again last evening. And so anyway, we had just finished with the qualifications of your pastors, or as the Bible calls them, bishops, the overseers of the church. We have so many women out there today that are pastoring churches, and they're not to do that. Nowhere in the Holy Word of God can you find where they are to pastor a church. In fact, they are not to even get up to speak in the church. Now, and that's God's word, not mine. Don't get mad at me. I know there's a lot of you out there that will. But still, it's not my word, it's his. We're going to be picking up here where we got cut out yesterday, the last evening, with the qualifications of the deacons, which also is going to give us knowledge and things that are controversy day in the church, but we're going to see it in God's word. Now here in 8, verse 8, says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, they're not to be double-tongued, but they are to be saying the same things to everybody and not going different ways and different directions. And not greedy of filthy lucre, which actually means that they are being dishonest, financial, over financial profits. Now, here in 8, just, I mean 9, just holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, we know that that means that they are true men of God, holding and living by his word. In 10. And let these also first be proved. In other words, they have got to show that they are right. In other words, the church has examined them and found that they are what they are supposed to be. And then, once that has happened, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now listen to this. Just as the pastor, they are to be found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave. They are to be grave, which actually means they're to be dignified and worthy of respect. Not slanders. In other words, they're not out running down saying things that would be defamation to people's characters. Sober. Faithful in all. You see, that's letting us know. Here in verse 12, it says, let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, they can't have two wives either or more. They can't be living in adultery. Do you know? You can go over to Titus chapter 2. You've heard me say often, I'd love to have a church full of godly women. And the reason for that is Titus gives us a good description of a godly lady and what she is supposed to be doing. So if you want to go over there with me, Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You see, she can be a teacher, but she is to teach the young women how to live a godly life. And to love her husbands and to love her children. Verse 5, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, and obedient. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, God has a work for them. And it is really needed, especially today, because our children are being taught things in school today that they should not be taught. And they really need to be taught from the word of Almighty God at home. Now, that is also her and the husband's. A lot of our men have let down too. They don't run their home. The lady runs it. And for the most part, and for the most of people today, they are not of the Word of God. So therefore, the children are being left out. And a child that is left out of the teaching of God and His Word and the Lord Jesus Christ, he has no chance of ever making heaven his home. Because he's going to grow up to be a lot of things he should not be. And get into a lot of things he shouldn't be getting into. But we need godly ladies in our churches. And they are to help with the sick and other things that is needed there at the church. And they are to be faithful unto that work. And a good godly lady is. They're always ready to help whatever way they can. All right, now. We're about to finish up here with it. Verse 14. Because these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul letting them know that he's wanting to come to them very shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. He wrote so they would know how to act and to live right until he would be able to get there. And he wanted them grounded in the truth. And the only way to get grounded in the truth is through his word. The study. And the acceptance and the obedience of living by his word. Now, the last verse, 16, chapter 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. How'd all that take place? The mystery of godliness. You see, it all happened through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you the footnotes in my Bible on that verse. Great is the mystery of godliness, which may be translated, great is the mystery of the Christian religion. The importance of the faith or the truth preached by the Christian church is another reason Timothy must behave himself and manage affairs as set forth in this epistle. Should he fail to do so, the heralding of the Christian faith would be hindered. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus was revealed in human form. He was justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit vindicated Jesus in that his true nature was disclosed and his messianic claim substantiated, seen of angels. They witnessed Jesus' whole earthly career, preached unto the Gentiles. The gospel of Jesus has been proclaimed to the nations, believed on in the world. Multitudes have accepted the gospel, trusting in Jesus. He was received up into glory. Jesus was divinely taken back into heaven. And that was all witnessed actually by mankind. And not just one or two, but by several. He was seen after his death by over 500 at one time. You know, and as you get into God's word and as you read it, and you see the things that God has talked about before and prophesied about, where they have come about, how they came about, and you find that it is all accurate and right to the point. But if you start living it, living his word, you go to Jesus, you repent of your sins, put your trust, your faith in him, you get into God's word, find you a good church that's teaching the Bible, not man's way, but God's way. And as you learn, you also grow. And you have God doing things in your life that you know only he could do. So you don't need, as far as actually needing, you don't need others to tell you about it. Although we do share with each other, and we are supposed to, because in that way, we help hold each other up to where Satan, as he comes against us, he finds a wall there that he can't get through. Because where these two or three of us gathered together in Jesus' name, he's always there with us. He and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We're not alone. We'll not be left alone. All right, now, we had finished up there with chapter 3. We're going to go into chapter 4. Verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh boy. Expressly means clearly. And to depart, here he's talking about to apostatize. Apostasy is a deliberate and permanent rejection. Christianity are the word of God. After a previous profession of faith in it. After you have professed to believe in it, and then you've backed out and fallen away. He's talking about doctrines of devil. That's doctrines that are taught. Actually, mainly by demons that are speaking through mankind and guiding them to preach and to teach things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Yeah, that starts out by making them a liar. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience has been scarred because of the unbelief. Now, 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received the thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Do we know anybody that belongs to anything that way? Yes, I'm afraid we all do. Now, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know, we don't have to abstain from none of that. We're not to do it. But when we sit down to eat, we are to give God thanks. We call it saying grace. But it's thanking God for it. And why do we do that? Verse 5 tells us, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That makes it good for you to eat. 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Gives you a good doctrine to let people know. Now, 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. All of our aims and all of our doings should be aimed at being godly. 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, when you belong to the Lord God, your life here is His. And the things you do brings praise, honor, and all to Him. That will help your life to be good here on this earth. Also, and you are building that life for eternity to be spent with Him there in heaven. Think about these things. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, accept all of this. Accept this word of God. It's worthy of being accepted. Ten. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in other words, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Oh boy. A lot of things to be godly in right there, isn't it? 13. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Twice he's talked about doctrine there in just a few short verses. In fact, three verses. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, what doctrine is he talking about? That doctrine that he's telling them to continue in. That is the doctrine of this word. This is the doctrine you and I are to live by, no other. Because we do, as we found out earlier, several days back in our study, that we're cursed if we preach any other doctrine. Think about that. Won't be long till we'll be out of 1 Timothy. But we still have a few more studies yet in it. 1 Timothy's got a lot in it. And a lot that we need to know. And a lot that we need to put into our lives. If we are to make heaven our home. You can go on and believe all of these things that is taught contrary to the doctrine of God if you want to. But I'm here to tell you that if you do, you're on your pathway to hell in that lake of fire, not to heaven. Because the only doctrine you are to be teaching is this one right here that I'm holding in my hand. And it's to be taught as it is written and with its meaning, not what I want to take out of it, twist and turn and add to and take away from to make it say what I want it to say. You leave it in its setting. That's why I teach like I teach, because God let me know. Don't be trying to make it say things that I have not intended for it to say. Leave it where it's at and read it all. Because you see, it will explain itself. And you can get the revelation of the truth of God's word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for the times that we come together to share your word with each other and with others. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit keeps adding to us each and every day. Those that are standing in need of hearing the truth of your word. Now, Father, not to pick us up, but to help them and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with all praise, honor, and glory, Father. Now, Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land in which I live, Father, this land here of America that has brought so much evil upon its own people, help us, Father, to rid our government of those that has brought this evil. You know who they are, Father. You know each and every one of them. Help us to replace them, Father, with those that love you, love your word, love your church, and your people. Work with us. Put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to put him back into all the places he's been taken out of. Now, Father, for those that are walking in sickness, we lift them up this morning. Because, Father, your word tells us that by his stripes, by the stripes that Jesus bore, we are healed. That was given a long time ago, Father. What we need is to reach out, to receive it, lay claim to it, believe it, stand on it, and see it done. No doubt, just know that it's true. Now, Father, as we separate for this day, keep us, Father, in health. Keep us safe. And we have those, Father, that are in pain. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our physician. I ask that he help ease the pain until that healing is done. Father, bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.